5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes, is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Go to 3Chi.com, the number 3CHI.com, to shop for Delta-8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S-21, at checkout and receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stackade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
We're back. I walked out yesterday morning, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Which was Father's Day.
Yes. And your birthday weekend.
Yeah. And my birthday weekend. Walk out. First thing in the morning. I'm going to go see my pops and all this stuff. Again, even though I saw him Saturday for our birthday. And I was just drinking a cup of coffee, standing on the patio. And I glance over at the dogs. Just I like to keep an eye on where they shit. Right?
Yeah, yeah. So you cut back on the search and rescue.
Yeah, so I know the general area when I go with the pooper scooper later. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't look right. Like fucking part of my fence is gone.
Oh.
And there's a giant tree, a pine tree, at an angle across the fence going into my yard. Like it had fallen, took out part of my fence, and was just hanging there like, fuck you on Father's Day, Todd.
Yeah.
I like this. I like this action. How about I change your plans for the day?
Is it a fuck you or is it, hey, Todd, maybe it's just a day to Todd is to be with Todd. Like, unfortunately, even on the day you shouldn't be, you got to do some dad shit. It's like the most dad shit possible.
Yeah, the most dad shit possible. I had to get out there and get this tree off the fence by myself. And it's a tree. Now, thankfully, it wasn't one of those monster trees I got where you can't even hug halfway around the damn base.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that just would have just totally taken out my fence and part of my house. This was a pine tree, I would say maybe 16 inches diameter, right? Still a heavy fucker. So I had to grab one branch and just kind of get myself between the fence and that thick ass branch and just push until it stood back up like a tree again, and then tip her over into the wood line and then drag it back. So it was kind of like I could still walk behind my fence.
Yeah.
And there's like 12 boards that popped off. You know, they use those air nail, put them on. Something about when it hit, it was just enough concussion. All these boards just like flew off the fence. So luckily the dogs didn't see it to get out. No other dog saw it to get in. So I'm out there like scrambling. I put the dogs up. I have to go through and put on all these boards again. Now, I have this OCD in me, right? So as I'm doing that, I'm screwing these boards back in instead of nailing them. I start to notice other boards that are kind of popped up a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Like in the middle.
Situation unfolded.
Yeah. And like just probably over time, those cheap ass little fucking air nails are coming up or whatever. Next thing you know, I'm like 3 hours in, going around screwing in loose ports all the way around my fence.
This is over and over for hours.
Yeah, and I end up being my Father's Day. Just and me, you know what, though? And my cordless drill.
And you could say that. I was going to do some stuff. I had some things to do. Goddamn tree fell in my fence. What am I going to do? Goddamn tree fell in my fence. That's how you sum it up right there. That's being Todd being who he's supposed to be, unfortunately.
I got to get my chainsaw working. I got like 3 down trees back there that I could cut up. I could have firewood for the next 2 months.
I mean, it's right there in front of you.
If I only knew how to use a chainsaw, I can't even get it started.
All you do is you hold the motherfucker down. You pull the little thingy out. Yeah.
I've been trying. Now, like Richie's, I could start. Remember when Richie had his there? I could start that thing right away. This fucking thing will not start. I'm about to go buy a new one.
I can't wait to tell you about the new pilot idea I have.
Mm.
It's good.
Does it involve chainsaws?
It could definitely involve chainsaws. No problem.
Okay.
This one though, for real, I can't say it on this podcast. It has to be after. Okay. Yeah, yeah. We'll we have a lot of creative, awesome people listening. You know, and this is how TV game works. People take an idea, but they branch off on it, so it's their own.
Yeah, that's already happened to you once.
Well, no, it happens to everybody to this gig. You know, it's just one of those things. It's a show because that's what all shows are, right? Like, look at reality shows. It started off with, they start off with Temptation Island, where you just bring in everybody within a relationship, and you bring in a bunch of hot single people on each side, make them love each other for a 2-month period, and then go back to your old lady, your old dude, right? And then they branch off. Well, now I'll dip in. My girl has, every so often she has like a new show she'll try out on these reality shows.
Oh yeah.
And I just saw one the other day. I walked in and I was like, what's going on with this show? And she's like, well, now on this one, they have to try to figure out who's each other's soulmate. And then I guess they did like a test, all these paperwork beforehand to make sure exactly who's compatible. And then they have a big meeting afterwards. And if however many lights are flashing, like, the lights that all go in sync like a magician comes out or a football team or something. And then however many of those lights come up, that's who's together. And then if you're with somebody and you're not fucking meant for each other, you have to break up and go find the other person. And money's in the
dark. If you don't line up, it just stays dark.
But they don't know who that. And then the money's on the line, though. I don't know. There's other shit to it. But, it's like the ones, they just branch off, right? That's how shows are.
My lady's all into the reality shows, bro. And I got to admit, they're dumb as fuck. But okay, bro. I get kind of addicted.
They'll suck you in.
I mean, have you seen the Sister Wives one?
No.
My new sister wife or whatever the hell it's called. Oh, my God. You talk about something that will fucking grab a hold of you and you can't let go of. I mean, these fucking people, it's all about married couples that are out trying to recruit like a second sister wife. And one of them already has 2 and they're trying to recruit a third.
Damn.
And this dude is a fucking nerd. Nerd. Like he looks like a serial killer.
I'd like to know the real behind the fucking, the real behind the scenes. Are these people all fucking... Like, is it more than just having help at the house? Because that's what it is, right? You're just looking for a larger team to operate the facility.
Well, and I think the guy's looking to have as many sexual partners as possible. Yeah. He's like, I'm tired of fucking just you. I need another you here that I can fuck on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays.
Damn.
He's got him in rotation. I think for the women, they're signing up because it's like a split household then, right? They can double team stuff, like co-mother.
Like a team.
Yeah, because from what I can tell, the father's not real involved with their kids. They're just more about trying to fuck all the time.
That's insanity. I wonder if it's for real or it's all bullshit.
It's somewhat real.
Is it scripted reality? Is this guy actually having sex with all of these women? And it's all okay in the house? Everybody's just cool with it? I'll never, ever, ever understand it.
I can't wrap my head around it. Now there's a couple of them where the wife is on board until kind of go time, and then she has a nervous breakdown. She's just like, she falls apart. Like, no. But
Like to what? When they're about to have sex or when he's about to have sex with one of the other?
Like when they go out, the girl comes up for a weekend, stays in the house, and they go out on a real first date. A couple times the ladies backed out then, like just lost their shit.
Oh, it's like, you know what, though? I'll say this. This guy's got this woman. Because it's obviously not her idea. She wouldn't be backing out.
She's exactly
the person going along with it. Like, she's being extremely over reasonable. A lot would say.
She's being talked into it.
Yeah, he's telling her, listen, this is a great idea. Okay, listen, you don't even want to have sex with me that much. She'll fill in the gaps. Now, in between those 20-minute periods, you have her. You guys are a goddamn unit for the weekend. We are out in these towns. And it's whether it's help around the house or we're hanging out outside the house. It's as a group. Like, that's a wild one, though, because of those.
It's wild, dude. It's wild. And, like, sometimes the funniest is when they're in the early stages, like people are responding on the whatever app or whatever they're on, where you hunt down sister wives. Like, they'll come in and like throw them for a loop, right? Like this one girl, they sit down for their date and she was just like, well, I don't know if I'm done dating like the people that I'm currently dating. Like, couldn't I just keep dating them and you? And they're like, he's like, no. We only date with the intention of marriage. So if you would only be dating me exclusively with the intent of soon afterward getting married. And she was like, but what if I want more than one husband? Like she started it on him and he just like, out the door. Like, this is about one thing, lady. This is about me having a bunch of women to have sex with. And it's about you guys taking care of all the chores. Like, it's very old school. And I can't believe women buy into it.
I'll tell you this. At least she's being open-minded. She's trying to break this trend and to both sides. But this guy just trying to make women be understandably 100% okay. He's with the biggest, sweetest double standard in the history of mankind. Like, I'm not sure I can think of a better double standard that men generally like this dude. Like, no, you know what I mean?
These dudes are trying to take women back to like the Oregon Trail days.
Literally.
Of the fucking Mormon church at that. Like, fucking, what are you doing? Like, this can't be a thing. And what women are signing up for? Like, what are you doing to yourselves?
But listen, I think that obviously the brain is extremely intricate. You got, across the board, whether it's ladies being okay with being a part of a sexual schedule with their sister wives and husband, mm-hmm. or dudes or women that are, you know, live in crack houses or some shit. Like, I'm not saying that those are the same level. I'm just saying that the extent of what's happening with the maniacness of what some people just are okay with and end up in.
Here's what it is. It's like your own little mini cult, right? Because these husbands have it in them to be like, they have in them what cult leaders have in them, where they try to manipulate, control, and brainwash a little bit. And these women are the type of women that get swept up in these cults and they follow these cult leaders. You know what I mean? They're only doing it like, oh, there's only three of us in the cult or there's only four of us. But it's the same thing, in my opinion.
But you're saying that the thought process in general is so radical that it's associated with a cult. Like, that's how crazy it is to the average human.
They can say whatever they want, religious or spiritual beliefs, whatever. No, dude, you're wanting to run your own little cult, and these women are just easily manipulated.
Mm.
I mean, except the one couple. There's this one couple, because most of the dudes, you're like, no woman's going to want this dude, let alone want to be the second or third, wife. But this one black couple, man, this dude's like super good looking and he has a kick-ass job. You can tell because they have this big, nice house and all this stuff. And his wife seems like she's like assistant cult leader. She's a little bit like, she's the most into this thing. She doesn't care about who he's having sex with and all this stuff. Like, she is pretty controlling herself. I think she just wants more women where she can be the house mom. You know what I mean? And control her little group.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Hey, he's financial backing. He's probably giving her that D or she wouldn't stick around.
Oh, yeah.
At least when I bet he's laying it down. You know,
he lays it down for sure.
So maybe honestly, it's like, I guess when you put it more, when you really start to associate it with almost like an office, like an absolute LLC, except for they also all fuck. So it's like a regular workplace because a lot of people are fucking.
It is.
Except with more organization and more of a business mentality.
Everybody has a job. Imagine if it was like, it's just like your office, except there's just one boss, this dude that sits in the big corner office, and it runs just like an office. There's a supervisor who's the first wife, right? Mm-hmm. And then everybody that works in the office has to, on rotation, fuck the guy in the corner office. Like,
that's it. Except it's Dave or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We all fuck Dave. I fuck Dave on Wednesday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then Dave fucks Amber, you know, on Saturday and Tuesday.
Yeah, that's exactly
what it is. And then the rest of the time, we're just running the company together.
Mm-hmm. I'm on laundry. You know, everybody has their own little duties, their own little jobs. And that's how we run it. And you know what? If it were, I'm not going to, hey, if you're happy, I'm happy for you. That's kind of my thing. But man.
But let's also think about it like this.
These dudes are getting by on people.
But you know what the problem is? That we're obviously that, you know, because we have our nature, I think, as humans is the love. It's like we have a loving nature.
Sure.
You know, there's obviously another nature of absolutely murdering people, but that's due to your love for something else, whether right. it's yourself or your family.
Yes.
So if you really separate the emotion from like let's just start with women who are already in the sex game, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's the level of escort, hooker, people who are just out there getting fucked on a regular basis, whether it's, you know, dudes and women, because that's the group, that's your target market, obviously, for this operation.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I think for people like myself and you, we're just traditional dudes. Like, I'm not like this guy in New York that's running from some sort of city council getting popped because he's tied up with his nuts in a noose and he's, you know, his nipple clamps on. I'm a vanilla dude. Like, and I just regular.
Me
so
too.
To us, it seems like it's hard for us to fathom, but for them, it's like people in that target market, they're like, dude, this is awesome.
Yeah. They got a different groove and maybe I shouldn't be, you know, so judgmental, I guess. I don't know. Here's my thing. Like, you don't see this in the gay community. You don't see gay sister wives, sister husband, brother husband situations. You know what I mean? Because they're more like less fucked up. You know what I mean?
Well, I think they're more on Front Street. They're just more on Front Street.
Yeah. They're more like secure in who they are, I think. Well, because once you go through like, I don't think people go through the challenges that they used to when they were gay. But once you come to terms with that and you had to fight through what you did because you were treated badly and all this shit, you're so fucking aware of who you are and comfortable. Mm. Like, you don't have these fucking hangups and shit like we do. Like these people on the Sister Wives show do.
Yeah. I mean, you can you imagine like on the gay side of it? Like they just let, I mean, obviously there's plenty of jealous fights of, you know, just like on, you know, on regular male, female stuff. But when everybody's just kind of cool with it, like everybody's just out having casual sex and it's not, because obviously women have a lot less casual sex than men. Right. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think that less women want to get fucked every night.
Absolutely.
And plenty of people would go out every night hoping they get fucked as a dude.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, that drives you for a good part of your adult life.
Yeah, and you're in your 20s, just think, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, so I think more men are looking for casual sex than women. But, absolutely. You know, but can you imagine it? That's how good their life is, and that's why they're on Front Street about it. Like, when I go out and I want to have sex, guess what? Everybody else does too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wild one to take away the whole, like the challenge part. I don't know what the word is.
And
but then you're just out there and we're all getting at it, getting after it. They're lucky as fuck. Anybody who, like, why pretend to be gay? Go have a great, I mean, why hide it?
Right.
Like, I see now how amazing and how much, like, how invigorating it seems to be when you let it all go and get out there and fucking just indulge.
No doubt.
I bet you, I wonder how many, they should start being more public. Dudes be like, man, I wish I was gay, dude.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all my gay friends, their lives are way more fucking put together than mine. They fucking have already built up their retirement. Like, they all can like retire at age 50 and just move to Florida. Whatever. Like, They are so much.
No secrets, doing what they want.
Yeah. They are just so much better people than I am.
You know what I'm going to do? One of my favorite comedians on earth, one of my longtime friends in comedy is Ty Rivera, one of the most bluntly honest and like just unbelievably candid look inside the gay lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Is he has, I mean, one of my favorite bits of his that just destroys me when I listen to him say it is talking about blowing a dude in a bush at a rest stop. And it's all true.
Yeah.
And just the shit that's I mean, it's one of my favorite jokes of all time. It's so funny. It's so raw. And it's so honest. And it's fucking awesome. Well, I'm texting him after this and I'm going to get him on here next week.
I mean, that's no different than us banging a girl when we were in our 20s in the bathroom of some fucking bar.
Or in your car or something.
Or in your car, in the parking lot. Yeah, in your car. I mean, I probably
it is. It is.
Stories, but you know,
fuck it. Ride with one. Your lady's pretty cool.
I remember when I was single.
She don't even listen, so it don't matter.
Early in the comedy game, I remember like after a show, it was at a bar. It was a bar show, and this girl came up and she said, "Okay, you were pretty funny. That's worth a blowjob."
And no I was way.
Like, "Oh yeah?" And she was like, "Come on." To the parking lot to her car and boom, there you
wow.
go.
Wow.
And I was like, I didn't think I was getting paid tonight, but yeah, that was
so the universe is the universe is cutting checks this evening.
Yeah. I mean, it was no longer a free gig. Really? It was like, yeah.
That's, I'm going to be honest. If you're a woman and you listen to that, that is one of the rarest. We're talking about seeing a fucking 6-leaf clover here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, listen, now I'm sure for some guys that happens on a regular basis, you know, I wouldn't be one of them gentlemen. I've known a few. I've witnessed some things that I was in the front row, like I was on the first baseline, basically,
right.
You know, because that's like, you know, that's like single dude level, like that's major league level player shit.
It
you know?
Was also bad judgment on my part. Like looking back, like anything yeah. could have happened. I didn't know that mm-hmm. lady. She could have stabbed me in the neck.
Could have had another dude in the car waiting for you.
Yeah, the other, and then the dude comes in. They rob me, put my body in the trunk, mm-hmm. drive down the road, dump me off a bridge, and that was the end of me. It'd be the end of me.
Yep.
Like it was a real dumb move. But when I was younger, like that, I was motivated by very few things more than the thought of that happening with a stranger in a parking lot. Like, that
yeah,
it was on my bucket list. So I was like, "Ooh, I got to, you know, that's a check mark.
What are you going to do?
It's worth it. Maybe I'll get killed. Maybe somebody is going to hit me over the head with a pipe and take all my money. But
then again, who's going to accept? Who's not going to take the job because there's too many perks?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look. Exactly. Oh, that's too many benefits. Sorry, I can't take this position. That's one too many awesome benefits. You know, I was good with all the insurances. I was good with all the time paid off. I was good with the sick pay. I was good with the bonus, the yeah. Christmas bonus. But mm-hmm. you throwing in a random blowjob because of how funny this guy is, forget about it. Count me out. Like, that's not, you just don't think about it because it's never, that's just shit that happens on TV, you know? Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what bit put it over the top for. You know what I mean? Like it had to be one particular. My jokes were pretty short back then, so in an 8-minute set, I probably told fucking 40 jokes. So I'm just wondering which one it was. It's probably the Magnum Condom one.
Probably that one.
I've had that for a while.
It's great timing too. It's a good hitter. Great opener too, because it sounds slow, and then yeah. boom. Oh, she's having sex with a black guy.
Shit.
That's good, though. Hey, listen. What year was that? How many years ago? That was well over 10.
I was probably, 12. It was definitely probably 10 years ago. 10 and a half years. Yeah, 10 and a half years ago. So I was probably a year, year and a half into comedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just started comedy when you were like 39?
38.
38 years old.
Yeah.
That's motivating, though. It's like because, you know, anybody can look at it who starts super young like me, and I could be like, well, I've been doing this for 20 years on some capacity,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not living in a mansion. This is, you know?
Yeah.
But then I'm like, well, Todd started chasing the dream at 38.
I tell you, I wish I would have known that this was possible right out of high school. I just would have said, fuck this, man. I'm moving to LA. I'll fucking get a server job, stay with, you know, a couple other people, three people, four people, five people. Who cares when you're 18? I wouldn't have not gone to college. I wouldn't have done anything else except work on that. Or I would have gone to film school. I would have talked my parents into sending me to film school. That's probably the move if I could go back. Because then, and then pursue comedy. Maybe you end up with like Danny McBride's fucking career or something.
Yeah.
You know, all his, he went to film school in North Carolina. And all those movies he started making that got him picked up, he made with his friends from film school in North Carolina.
Fucking unbelievable. Because that movie is so goddamn good, The Foot Fist Way.
Right?
Man.
I mean,
Danny McBride is definitely one of my favorite stories as far as actors within the last 10 or 15 years.
He absolutely my favorite.
Because he just raw dogged it himself, and his character is so damn good and so convincing and so relatable. It's just so awesome.
Once he established that character, dude, I mean, that was a ticket to stardom right away, because it's so fucking, everybody recognizes that dude, right? Mm-hmm. There's that dude in your hometown who or fucking thinks he's way more important than he is.
But there's also kind of something in all of us a little bit like that. Like, we all have a, you know, he obviously communicates his confidence differently than the average, than everybody else. But we all have like a sense of, you know, we want to be something and we want to have this confidence. But then also there's part of us know, well, weak ass bitch too. Like, I'm just also a big fat pussy at the same time.
Right.
So the way he over exaggerates into each side of the confidence and the insecurity, you know, we all fall, you know, he definitely pushes the bar so far that we can relate. Cause like, damn, I mean, I have part of this, but I ain't nowhere near that.
Right.
You know, but
we all want that much confidence. Like, even if it's fucking warranted or not, like, I just wish I was that confident on one fucking thing.
Yeah. You know?
If Foot Fist, like, or was it Foot Fist Way? Is that the name?
Well, yeah. Eastbound and Down obviously was probably the character.
Yeah. But the first base, one that he
Foot
did.
Fist Way. Yeah. He has the Ferrari and shit.
Like,
and
he clearly couldn't even do karate. Like, he sucked, at karate, but he was so confident.
I think Kung Fu, was it Kung Fu he did? I forgot which one.
And then he has to fight the basically the Chuck Norris figure.
Yeah, the best karate guy that does all the conventions and shit. And then he fucks his wife. Like, oh. And that's so like, good. Again, it's so relatable. You're like, God damn it. This guy had to just fuck my wife. And then she's talking about it like it should just be, he should just be okay with it, because she don't want to be married to him. She's not happy with her situation.
Right.
But she got nowhere to go, I was assumed, because she doesn't seem like she's a very hard worker in that movie, you know?
Right.
And she's just not a motivated person, but she's just like, fuck you. Yeah, I'm married to you, but I'm gonna fuck this guy. He's a karate master.
God, I love that movie. And it looks like it only costs like $500 to make it. That's what I love the most about it.
Yeah,
it's still so good.
I filmed two of my sets this weekend, and then out of nowhere, for the very first time, my iPhone, I had it on airplane mode. It just cut off at 28, and I got 100 gigs left in that bitch, and it just decided to cut off at 28 minutes and one at 18 minutes.
Jesus, you're just looking to make clips out of it, though, right?
Yeah, I had some good crowd work though. The best crowd work, I forgot to hit record. Like a pig. But on Thursday night, crowd work in Des Moines. By the way, if you went to Des Moines this weekend, thank you. Awesome people, man.
Nice.
You know, I had one talkie table. That was really it. But it was at the point, like, you know, every show was awesome. And I went out into the crowd and was doing jokes and shit from the middle of the tables several times.
Right.
I had some really fun crowd stuff happen. You know, it was good, dude. I'm telling you right now, if I start doing three weekends a month, like my girl's son goes to college in August and my lady can travel with me. Mm-hmm. So we can be like, and you know, if you travel with your lady and you really plan it right, it could be an absolute free vacation all the time.
Oh yeah. And if you're working 3 weeks a month, you got it made. Doing well.
Yeah. So, but I just feel like if I start getting them reps in, it's going to be over in a year. Like, I am going to be, I will crush anything. Like, that much hours of right now with my zenness, I just feel like it's changing a little bit, like on the stage, like I'm getting even better and better at the crowd part of it and making up these stories and blending them in. I'm just excited about it. I want to just hammer away at it just to give myself the opportunity that if it still doesn't ever pay off, that at least I know for goddamn sure it's not because I didn't try hard enough.
Yeah, at least you know you gave it your all, you know?
Yeah, yep.
This is all you can do.
You know?
If you don't make it and you didn't go for it, then you got nobody to blame but yourself.
Exactly. And, you know, along the way, Todd, you're going to be doing a lot of research. You're going to be doing a lot of stuff.
A lot of research. Probably mm-hmm. on the internet.
Pretty much all of it on the internet, Todd.
Because the days of going to a library and just checking out books or going through microfiche news articles on that microfiche mm-hmm. machine, those days are gone.
Sean. Yeah. They're not. They don't even know what that means. People listening.
No. I mean, you're going to do all your research from the comfort of your own home mm-hmm. over your own internet connection, which means, unfortunately, that you're exposing yourself to the rest of the world.
Yep. Exposure.
Other people.
Unwanted.
Unwanted, meaning other people can see what you've been looking up. They can see information and some of your data that you wouldn't want them to see just because they're smarter than you about mm-hmm. those things. So I only do it when I'm under the protection of IP Vanish.
Well, that's because you know why? You're a smart guy. And I'll tell you what, people say, well, what is IP Vanish, guys? And I'll tell you what it is. It's a virtual private network, a VPN for short. Okay, a VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet, guys. We need safety. You guys need it. You use a VPN on your computer, tablet, phone. I mean, all the way to things like a Fire Stick when you're streaming media at home. Use a VPN. Keep your data encrypted, okay?
Yeah, what you're reading and what you're searching and what you're watching, whatever you're doing is your business, nobody else's. It's what you're doing. They should freaking mind their own business, but they don't because they're evil and they're nosy and they want to sell your shit. So it's important that you protect yourself because what you're doing on the internet is no one else's business but yours. IP Vanish helps you remain anonymous and secure on mm-hmm. the internet. And for listeners of this show, IP Vanish is offering an incredible 65% off, which is just $3.49 for the first month or $31.49 for the year.
You heard that right, everybody. We're talking about $3.49 for the first month or $31.49 for the year. Let's go.
$31.49 for the year, you know? I spend that on a DoorDash every day.
And you're not even full when you're done eating.
No. Here's everything you get with IP Vanish. You get an anonymous IP address. Not just one. You get mm-hmm. multiple anonymous IP addresses. This means your personal IP address can't be tracked by anyone on the web.
Yep.
They have no idea. You're cloaked. You're invisible. Uh-huh. Circumvent any online censorship. IP Vanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70-plus locations. And you get protection when using public Wi-Fi. Remember, with IP Vanish, all your data is encrypted, so no one can snoop on what you're doing. 24/7 support. You can email them. You can chat with them. You can even call them. They're here to help. And I know all this is wonderful, and you guys are like, I get it. I need IP Vanish, but please tell me the deal. What is my deal for getting this ad on your show? Tell them, Sean.
I'll tell you right now, here's your deal, guys. Okay, you're up to 65% savings. All you got to do is go to ipvanish.com/gunsblazing, claim your 65% in savings, and there it is, $3.49 for a month or $31.49 for the year. Okay, we're talking 65% off here.
It's over half. That's over 50%.
That's more than 50, just under 70, Todd. Okay, and IP Vanish is the best of the best. It's rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot, okay? And that's with more than 6,000 reviews, okay?
Wow.
Don't keep your information in limbo. Lock it down, ipvanish.com/gunsblazing.
Man, it just feels good to be protected when I'm looking up shit.
It makes me way more confident that I'm not going to have some embarrassing day one day. I'm going to get an email and be like, yo, here's the deal, buddy. I got all your fucking search history. I'm going to need $10,000 or I'm going to leak this. Guess what? I'll be like, eat a bowl of shit because I have IP Vanish.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're bullshitting.
You're thinking of somebody else, pal.
Yeah.
I want you to scam somebody else that doesn't use IP Vanish.
Pussy.
I want
to call bluffs in an extortion situation, you know? That's what they should call it. IP, call your fucking extortion vanish. Call your extortion bluff vanish.com.
There is no better word. And I know there's been a little bit of controversy as of late because, listen, we're getting a little carried away about words. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Pussy, the word pussy. Now, yeah. Women were not in any way.
Yeah.
Trying to use that in a derogatory manner toward your vagina. We love your vagina. That's the greatest thing in the world is a vagina. There's nothing better than a vagina. What we're saying is back in the day, that was the word that popped it all off. That was the word that let everyone in the crowd know right away, this is either going to be a fight or it's not. Because when you got into the other guy's face and you said, pussy, that guy right there had to make a decision. If I have to throw a punch and get this fight going, or I got to walk away. There's no in between. If I just stand there after someone got in my face and said, pussy, I'm never going to live that down.
No. And it's, you know, and again, it's, this is just sound effects that all come together to make a meaning, really, is all it is.
Yes.
If you think about the word phonetically, the word is just perfect.
It's got starts that strong,
off strong, like, poof, poof, and you're like, you know, and then you slide to the end, and then at the end, just a clean ass dismount with
it
Y.
Ends on that vowel that you, because you could then you can control the length of the E depending on how much you want to challenge that person. You know, you could be like pussy, or you could be like. Pussy.
Or you could be like, pussy. You're just a pussy. See, like that.
Yeah.
And it really just, and again, I you're right, because I forget that could, I don't know if that's cancelable or not. I don't know. I think it's starting.
I don't think it's cancelable, but, you know, there are people like, well, what are you trying to say? Women are weaker.
Yeah.
No.
Word just works phonetically. You know, that's what's wild, is that almost the most phonetically sound words can somehow, they all become some sort of powerful aspect when you want to throw shit and dig at people.
Yeah.
And really get them riled up. Like a lot of really bad words are unbelievably phonetically put together.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
That's why they were used a lot of times, because how powerful the phonetic structure was of the word.
Yeah. And it sucks because we could be using those phonetically awesome words for other stuff.
Yes.
That
I wish we could
positive.
Change the meaning. I wish at some point you could say, okay, listen, this word has such a strong phonetic structure for what it's used for. Mm-hmm. We're going to change the definition. So that way it doesn't offend anybody.
You know, I think it does do that. Words do that, but I think they hit, and that sometime down the line, as it changes what it means, one of them just grabs it, and it's just not, you can't follow that guy.
Yeah, no.
Like, let's say take the word, F-A-G-G-O-T, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a bundle of sticks. That also was a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, depending on the time frame, the word was... In your life, where the word was, and where you're from, right? And then all of a sudden, when it went to describing, you know, a slur for homosexuals, then guess what happened? It was just overdone, because there's so much hate. There's such a large group of people that are absolute fucking haters. And that's been through the dawn of time, you know, people hating on homophobics. People being homophobic.
Yeah, yeah. And they fucked it up, because when they started making that a hate word directed towards somebody else, then the word's gone.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. Like, I'm not going to use the word anymore. You don't use the word.
Can't use it anymore. So,
I mean, when it starts hurting people, it's gone. But the word originally was created because of – it had meaning, other meaning, and it had – unfortunately, a very powerful phonetic structure.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm going to use the word pussy, because it's the safest of the no-no words anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying, like, I want to bring, I'm going to try to find a substitute, but then I think as soon as we do and it catches on, somebody's going to associate it with something bad. And then it's going to, it's all got a shelf life. You know what I mean?
See, and it's also, I mean, I think the word's originating from a pussy cat, and they're scaredy cats. Like you don't look at cats as a fighting force. Like you'd look at a pit bull. And so that's
Maybe it's our fault because you're right. That's a great point. Like I never really thought of it that way. And that's it. So when the cowardice was like, oh, you're a scaredy cat, you're a pussy, pussy cat. It came from that.
Yeah.
At what point? Who's the dude that said, you know what?
That linked it up with the vagina? Yeah. Who's this guy? What? Or I don't think it was a, because it could have been a chick too. It could have been a woman.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's women out there that would easily, you know, think about the, you know, the residual of that being the creator. I mean, just even from a business standpoint, if you're a woman that disagreed with it and still said, fuck it, let me ride with this. This is bigger than this is bigger than me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. She didn't. She or he, either one, I don't feel like capitalized on it. From a marketing standpoint, I don't feel like they trademarked it and actually, you know.
Yeah.
Did.
What about 20 years later? The creator of the connection from pussy to pussy, from pussy to cat to vagina. This guy is the connector. He's the one who rerouted the wording, the word meaning.
What possible reasons could he or she have had for picking that word? Was it just because it was so strong phonetically?
Again, I mean, or it has to, dude. I guess
try
so,
to
man.
Somehow link the vagina to like being cat-like.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know.
Maybe
how that
fits. Where the licking of it comes from. It's something to do like the comparison of cat, the licking of it. It's like a
cat.
Yeah.
Bath.
Yeah.
That could be.
Because that's what obviously that's, you know, fellatio from man to woman and the licking. And, you know, maybe that's where it connected is that it's like when a cat's licking himself.
Cunnilingus. It's cunnilingus.
Cunnilingus.
Man to woman and from woman to man, fellatio. Uh-huh.
Which, oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I'm a dummy.
Someone,
I just.
Some, no, some, this- I only know because someone corrected me.
Really?
On a podcast one time for that. Yeah. So, and then I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. But whatever. You get it. There's a mouth on somebody.
So maybe it's where's the word cunnilingus stem from? Now we're getting to this is like level 3 or 4, man. And I'm getting my brain might break right now. And I'm not sure I want to crack this case that wide open on this episode. Maybe
diving deep. If anybody knows of the origin of the association between the word pussy and the vagina, we would love to hear about it. So
it has to be what we just said, decided.
Yeah.
It has to be.
It's got to be the cat bath thing. It's got to
be. There's no other way. And again, this isn't about us talking sexually. This is about us diving into the culture of the verbiage and the, you know, the sounds and words, and just the basics of communication and what, you know, other stuff.
Because I doubt there was just a dude just like he was having sex with a lady and he was like, ah, it feels so good. It feels so, your vagina feels like a cat. Oh, it's like a pussy cat. Oh, I love your pussy. And then he, you know, it just gets around. Oh, I love your pussy. Like, I don't think it happened like that.
No.
Because that woman would have, as soon as he said, it feels like I'm fucking a cat, she's going to get up. She's going to put it like, no, you're done. Mm-hmm. Like, you're something wrong with you. And then he's not going to be able to keep doing it long enough to evolve it into pussy.
That's what it is. It definitely comes at a licking. It has, there's, and then the scaredy cat part. It was just too much. It just all came colliding together at the perfect time. Mm. The scaredy cat, you know, being scared.
Yeah.
So that associates to pussy. And then the way that cunnilingus works between the man giving the woman and how he operates and the body parts used on what body parts and it's, and the movement of said body part to said body part.
Yes. Great point.
So that's, you know what I mean? Like if we're, listen, you think this is a goddamn joke? We're breaking this down. And I'm going to tell you right now, we could be pretending like we didn't really know the true definition. And we could be pretending that if this is the true definition that we came up with it ourselves, but we secretly researched, I swear my good eye, I didn't research nothing. This is all off the skull, us breaking it down word by word, situationally, technically, verbally, emotionally, physically, mentally. What else? What are
spiritually?
Spiritually.
Listen, guys, other podcasts aren't tackling these subjects.
No.
There's no other podcast out there who's trying to not only educate you about the origin of the word pussy, and then defend its usage based mm-hmm. on education and knowledge instead of just, I don't want to stop using that word. You're talking to, you're listening to two guys that value women more than most other guys do. We appreciate that they're badasses. We watch them. Those are our favorite matches when we watch UFC or Bellator or bare-knuckle boxing.
The most technical.
The most technical, and they have the most heart and the most endurance. There's nonstop action. Women are badasses. There's no chance you're ever going to hear one of us refer to them in any kind of derogatory manner when it comes to that. So that's how you know that we're properly using the word pussy. When I call you a pussy as a dude to offend you, it's because I'm calling you a fucking scaredy cat.
That's why. A pussy cat.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. And again,
if I call you a vagina, then that's a compliment. Right now, I'm saying you're a badass.
You're a creator of the earth.
There's nothing stronger than a vagina.
You're a gateway from nothing to something.
You could drop a fucking watermelon and then snap back in like 2 weeks.
I mean, peak
performance condition.
That's a living organism. That's an organism, a living, breathing organism. To be able to do that type of action.
What other parts of the body?
I guarantee you right now, I don't know one man that could drop a watermelon out of his asshole and then just be hanging out, no problem, 2 weeks later.
We'd be dead. We'd
be healing up. We would die. We would have to be healing up for months at a time. You know, there's going to be
sitting on one of those donuts for like the next 8 months.
Sleeping on our bellies. That's the worst.
Women, boom, 2 weeks later, back to work. I'm jogging again. I'm going to Pilates.
Yep.
I'm hauling around heavy trash bags because my husband's lazy. I'll take the mm-hmm. trash out myself. Like that's how women are. That's how strong. If I call you a vagina, that's a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
I call you a pussy. That means you're a scaredy cat.
That means we have a situation unfolding and it needs to be addressed extremely, extremely rapid.
Yeah.
That means fast.
Right now. It means immediate.
It means it's the foreground right now in the present. Not tomorrow, not today, now.
Mm. I'm glad we reconciled that for people.
You know what? We don't technically on paper, we don't have to. It's not contractually obligated for us to bring this level of depth to the podcast. We can just be up here giggling with our thumbs up our asses.
Listen, our contract with Audio Boom, nowhere in that contract does it state that we have to clear up the word pussy with
Todd,
our listeners.
I'm going to put on I'm going to go over the contract. I have these new PDF glasses, so when I put them on, it's a computer screen on the inside.
Oh, nice.
So I can go through the PDFs of our contract.
We check it. We check the small print just in case, but I'm pretty sure.
Nope. It's not in there.
See?
It's not in the contract.
That's what I thought. I mean.
So again, I don't know. I mean, should we cut this out and put this as a bonus episode?
Maybe. Or maybe, you know, we should cut this out and submit it for our next
what
Emmy.
Awards? What
next
awards,
podcast award?
What's the podcast awards? The top one? Maybe we should submit for that.
Yeah. Should we even change this from the comedy category to like educational category?
Yeah, psychologically educational and whatnot. Yeah. Maybe if there's a group for that.
Like the, I'm sure the you know those the category where all the like kids learning podcasts are and stuff. Maybe we should change to over there.
Like it's really, K through 12 educational.
If kids could hear this right now, uh-huh. I mean, it would change everything for the world, I believe. Like at a very young age, if they get down proper usage of the word pussy and the meaning and mm-hmm. why it is an effective way to intimidate another man specifically.
Or a bear,
like an animal. If mm-hmm. an animal comes at you and starts, and they, you know, bears get big when they try to intimidate or whatever.
Yep.
If you just throw it, pussy, see what that
get
bear
out of
does.
Here, pussy.
See what that bear does.
I guess she gets out of there. I bet she gets out of there. But again, that you're right though.
Should've got
I mean,
off the pot.
I have a call with Apple this week about some projects. I will mm-hmm. see if I can. They'll just transfer me to Tim Cook.
There you go.
And again, usually they do. Sometimes he's busy doing keynotes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's with, you know, he's down with the production team, but 6 out of 10, I get through. So
Let me ask you this. Should we schedule a TED Talk about this? What? They've been after us to come up with a topic for one.
I think this is kind of exactly the type of talk that TED needs.
Yeah.
I'm looking at TED Talks every day. I'm going over topics. I'm trying to see what's saturated, what's not.
No one's used this one yet, right?
They've been crushing our door, like, give us something. But we're being so selective because we don't want to be a cookie cutter, another TED Talk.
Right. We want it to mean something. We want it to change lives if we have a
TED called. And I think this could TED be called topic. 6 times this weekend. And I fucking had an answer like right before I went up. And I was like, dude, you got to give me a break, man. I'm about to go on stage in Des Moines, Iowa at the Funny Bone. And I go, please don't call me on July 1st, Thursday, when Todd and me are going to be at Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia. Please don't call during that
because
show.
Because we're busy. And a lot of people are going to come because they went to the Guns Blazing podcast website, gunsblazingpodcast.com, and they clicked the link that's in the calendar and they bought tickets for that Thursday night show at 8 p.m.
I mean, that's us opening the ACL Weekend Nationals, over at the casino. King of Persia. I'm fucking it up right now. Yep. But it is there in the casino, the Persia.
But don't bother us with the TED Talk on
Please
that
don't.
Night.
Please don't. That's right. I told him, and he was like, all right. And now, honestly, it's such a – you see how this works, the coincidence that's popping up right now? Suddenly, we finally figured out that this –
is it coincidence or is it fate?
Is this just the universe writing us another check? Is that what this is? I'll tell you what. The universe has been – that it's been the pen has been touching the universe's tongue as he signs off on expenses for you and I and just really get cash and checks for us.
I think so. And, is it any coincidence that we both independently, before we even knew each other, did so much research on vaginas? Like this could be why that we spent I don't know what that word is.
It sounded good to me.
An incredible amount of time on studying and researching the vagina and also cats.
Yeah.
So this could be what it was all for.
You know what I mean? It's literally, again, I've said it time and time. We're R&D guys, bro. Research and development. Okay. Mm-hmm. What department? If there's ever a number, when you call, what's those numbers when you call some extension? An EXT.
Yeah.
Our extension, ask for the extension to R&D. How do I get to R&D? If you want to get to me and Todd, that's where we are in research and development in that area. That's where we're at hanging out.
I used to get in trouble by my teachers so much for constantly drawing vaginas on my notebook, on my textbooks, on the back, all my folders, on my Trapper Keeper, just constantly drawing vaginas, doing the work. I'm doing the work.
And you get the shadowing down and everything.
Yeah. And details,
sometimes you drop a big old bean up there.
Oh yeah.
And you didn't even realize it.
Right. And it was all about learning more about the vagina and becoming more familiar with its history. And my teachers used to always say, one after another, they'd be like, these vaginas, all this work you're doing in these vaginas is going to get you nowhere in life.
Nowhere.
Now who's laughing? Now who's laughing, Miss Topinski?
And the weird part was is that you ate Arby's Big Montana sandwiches for lunch for 6 years of elementary school. 5 days a week, you had the Big Montana from Arby's, and no one could understand why. Because I think it's because of the likeness to, if you glanced at a Big Montana, you could see some big roast beef lips technically.
Oh, yeah.
Like a quick glance, it could be roast beef lips.
And she would all the time say, listen, this is Spanish class. It's not vagina class.
Yeah.
So I don't
know. She kept on saying Pinocha, Pinocha, Pinocha. Yeah.
And I said, Ms. Fisky, this is your vagina. This is what I picture your vagina's looks like. And
well, because as a kid, you only saw the vagina as the birthplace of life. You looked at it like a
part of a female human being.
You didn't know. You for some reason, you had distinct memories of coming out into the world.
Yeah.
So to you, it's like, this is just subconscious. It's like your Grand Canyon if you're a hiker.
I came from one of these. This isn't sexual at all. I came from one of these. This is your miracle pocket.
Is this the most patriotic thing in history? This is a real motherland, right?
Right.
This is motherland.
This was in no way demeaning or sexual in any way.
No.
And she didn't get it. You know, I'm like, no. This is the most beautiful part of you. This is your miracle pocket. This is the life comes from here.
If babies came out of the palm of your hand, then you would have given her a picture of her awesome hand.
Yes.
It's not about sexual, you know, the sexual aspect of the vagina.
But again, we're each ahead of our time. We're ahead of our time. And no one respects someone who's ahead of their time.
Nope. I will say this. Arby's sauce is one of the best sauces at a fast food game, man. And they also have those packets of horsey sauce that are unstoppable.
The horsey sauce at Arby's is probably my single favorite condiment in fast food history. Like because you could go in there pre-COVID and you can control how much you get because you just go right up to the squirt bottle of it.
Yeah.
And I used to load up on that shit, dude. Mm-hmm. I would load up on that, on the horsey sauce. I wish they would sell it in grocery stores.
Oh, you mean the actual Arby's horsey?
Yeah.
Huh. I will say this. Just go. I'm not trying to supplement here. You could always just go to Arby's yourself. You know, be fair. Buy about $30 worth of Arby's sandwiches. Ask for extra horsey. Get home. Do the homework, though. Mm-hmm. Cut the tops off with scissors. And then put them in your own container.
It's almost worth
that's commitment.
Becoming like doing the training, do the work. It's almost worthy of becoming a cat burglar so that we could sneak in through rappel ropes and stuff and avoid the laser sensors.
Yes.
To steal the recipe from Arby's headquarters because they have that lab, right? Where they develop all this stuff and they store the secret recipes. Like it'd be worth us Mission Impossible Tom Cruise eating that shit and sneaking in and stealing that recipe.
Yeah, that would be a really good idea. You know, just to install cameras in there, just like even if that's what we got to do, it's little tiny cameras, but are extremely like 9, 10K, 12, 15K.
Do we do audio bugging devices as well so we can monitor the audio or probably the cameras now also come with audio?
I think that their guys are in such a routine at this point that no one's saying what they're putting in. So I don't think we're going to hear as much. Maybe it's just to be on the safe side, too much knowledge is better than not enough intel. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say that it's a bad idea. And obviously with our equipment, you know, it's not going to hurt.
Well, listen, word is their headquarters does not use IP Vanish. So we might be able to hire a hacker to get in there and hack the data.
If you're a hacker,
steal the recipe.
If any hackers listen to this podcast, we want you to reach out to us. We're just trying to get our hands. We're not going to go fucking. We're not trying to go find, you know, we're not looking for any sort of off market, black market weaponry.
No.
We just want to get our hands on the Arby's horsey sauce recipe.
And not to duplicate it for commercial use, just for our own. Just
me
for around the
for
house.
For me, for Todd, for ourselves.
For the backyard barbecue bash. We would like to have it ready by then. Because, I mean, I would dip my steak in it.
He would. He would dip a steak in it.
It's that good.
And you got to respect that. People just don't get it, man.
I would put it on a brat.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm telling you guys, we're not bullshitting here, man. If you don't think we're telling you the truth, do us a favor. If you actually like listening to us, head over to Arby's. Get yourself some sort of roast beef sandwich. Ask for Arby's sauce. Ask for some horsey sauce. Pull over. Don't do this while you're driving. Be fully present when you put these condiments on your sandwich. So it's a good mix. It's a full coverage. It's sauce on every bite. Okay, that's the level of commitment we need from you. And then when you're done with that sandwich, you come back and you send us a message. And if you're not fully happy, I'm going to be like, oh, this guy's not one of us.
Yeah. Get off
the feed.
Do you have glue sticks in your office right now?
Those are nice glue sticks, Todd.
These are premium glue sticks. And the reason I have these glue sticks is because I tried to counterfeit a parking pass for the Coke lot so that we could get an extra vehicle in there. Uh-huh. And I stopped at Walgreens and scanned the parking pass I had and then tried to print it off. And then I was going to, you know, it has a back that has like a thing that they can hit with their barcode thing. So I was like, I'm going to have to be able to glue those two things together. And I'm having out the guy at Walgreens was helping me do this.
That's awesome, man. And you got to respect that.
Conspiracy. But we couldn't get it to print out at the same size. It kept making it way bigger. And I'm like, this is never going to work. We're going to get caught. So I abandoned the plan.
Well, you know what? It just leads to the fact that possibly down the road, you never know. We might catch us slipping with a few vehicles in the Coke lot and we only got one ticket.
Yeah. You know why?
I'll say this.
You know why I didn't follow through with that counterfeit project?
Why is that?
Because that day I was a pussy.
You were a pussy. That's real a straight up and down cat. Little scaredy cat pussy.
Mm-hmm. I was cat. A pussy. Pussy There's a cat. Lot of days where I'm a vagina. And I'm bold, I'm brave, mm-hmm. you know, You're I'm strong. Full of heart, I'm strong, I'm durable.
You're emotional.
A lot of days I'm a vagina.
Vulnerable.
Occasionally, I'm a pussy.
And that day you were.
Such is life.
Hey, Todd, listen, I think we ended there, buddy. And we reflect on the fact that you can look back at being a pussy from time to time. But at the end of the day, Todd McComas, you're just a 50-year-old strong vagina of a man.
Thanks, brother. You're a vagina as well.
Thank you, sir.